I'm going to teach tonight on the subject, the way I, as pastor, am to be just toward those who work for me. It's a Bible message, Bible lesson, and I'll give them a title again because I'm very impressed with it. The way I, as pastor, am to be just toward those who work with me. I need to take you back to a passage we've read a half a dozen times and then to another we've read some. And we're going to study it tonight in a new light. So open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We've been there many times during our study on justice. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 12, page 216. Moses is talking. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And he answered me and said, the thing that which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands and captains over hundreds and captains over fifties and captains over tens and officers among your tribes. And I charged your judges, that's those men I just talked about, at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will, there's too hard for you, bring it again, I will hear it. Now, we're going to spend the entire evening at 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Keep your Bibles open there. I'm going to spend the entire night in those passages, 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20. Often on Wednesday nights, we'll go from passage to passage, sometimes using many passages. Sometimes we stick with one. Tonight, we'll stick with this one. What I want to say tonight, if it were heated, would present a lot of problems in our churches. There are people in every church in America who think that they have been chosen by God to discipline the staff members and the employees of that church. I'm going to show you tonight where the pastor is responsible for that and not the church members. I'm going to show you that's the job of the pastor, take care of disciplining those who are on the church staff. And I'll show you according to the Bible, and you'll believe it when I get through. We have no problem here, but through the years, every once in a while, somebody gets the idea that he or she is supposed to tell me whom to hire and fire, and especially whom to fire. I'm going to show you tonight what it says. When I came here 31 years ago, I met with the pulpit committee over what was the old Francis classroom. And the pulpit committee asked me this question. They said, what things would you leave a church over? What things do you insist upon if you pastor a church? I said, that's easy, three things. Three things. I said, number one, the pulpit is mine. Number two, the office of being moderator of the church is mine. Number three, the staff is mine. And I'd walk out of this church tonight, never pastor again. We haven't got problems here. I'm just telling you this so we won't have any. But I'd walk out of this church tonight if I weren't moderator of this church. I would not pastor any church where I was not in control of the staff. Nor would I pastor any church where I was not in charge of the pulpit. And tonight we're not going to talk about the pulpit or the moderator position, but we are going to talk about the staff. Every church ought to hear what I'm going to teach tonight, because most churches don't know what I'm going to teach tonight. And I hope that you'll listen as I do. I think it'll help you. It'll help you young men who are going to pastor someday. It'll help all of you who are Christians in the, out down in the future when you are going to be scattered all over the world in 25 years from now. It'll help you to know exactly God's plan for a church staff. Father, bless our study tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing upon us as we now enter into thy word to study its pages. Help us to see it and take it and accept it once we see it. In Jesus' name, amen. I do not know how any man could preach for 43 years and have as little problem as I've had with the staff. Of all the men who worked on my church staff, now I'm talking about the local staff here at the church, I'm trying to think the last time I had a problem with any of them. I think it was last week with Brother Moffitt. I'm not sure when it was, but I don't know anything. Those who worked the closest with me are the closest to me, and I think maybe love me as much or more than others do, but because to know me is to love me. But nobody has any less reason to bring this Bible study tonight than I do. The men who work with me are among my dearest friends. Brother Jim Vineyard told his people recently, so I hear, that he said, whenever I get with my back to the wall and I'm totally helpless, he said, I expect to turn around and see one man there. He said, Jack Hiles. You ask tonight those men who've been here, worked with me through the years, about our relationship even now, our relationship with Brother Wally Beebe, who was here 2 years, our bus director, is above, it's impeccable. I have a wonderful relationship with Brother Lindsay Terry, who was music director here for 4 years. In fact, I help him regularly on a regular basis get out the books that he writes and so forth. And I don't have time to call all the names, but some of the finest men who've ever lived have worked for me, and the finest men who've ever lived work with me now. But one reason is that the churches I've pastored have always followed the scriptural plan for these men. You know, all over America, it isn't like it is here. I can tell you of some churches recently. Brother Mike Haynes down in, he's doing that amazing work down in Charleston, South Carolina. One of his assistant pastors became a Benedict Arnold, and wrote a letter against him and mailed out to all the people. I've got more respect for a pimp on the streets of Chicago than I have for that man. But let me share with you what churches ought to know about a church staff. I want to read for you, please, with you, in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now look at me. First thing I want you to notice is to whom this was written. This was written to Timothy. Timothy was the pastor of the church. It was written to Timothy, to the pastor. You know, we get in all kinds of trouble when we take a scripture and apply it to people that the Bible didn't apply it to. Now, the things that are in this passage are found in other places in the Bible. For example, where it talks about don't receive an accusation without two or three witnesses, two or more witnesses. That's found in Deuteronomy. It's also found in 2 Corinthians 13 and other places in the Bible. But this passage was written to Timothy. Timothy was the pastor of the church, and Paul is writing to the pastor. So when he said, let the elders that rule well be counted with double honor, he's saying to Timothy, you give double honor to those elders that rule well. Now, let me use an illustration here. In our house, and in yours, if it's the kind of house it ought to be, when our children were growing up, when a child, I was home, the child was in need of some discipline, dad would take the child to his room. That was my responsibility. I would take the child to the room. You know, we never had a vote among the children as to what I did up there in that room. If I took Becky to the room, Dave and Linda and Cindy had no vote. But quite frankly, Mrs. House didn't have a vote either. Because it was my job. And so I took the child upstairs to the room. And alone with that child, I transacted what I thought should be done. Why? Because just as God gave in Deuteronomy chapter 1, he chose judges and gave some thousands and some hundreds and some fifties and some tens, and said, each one of you judge your little area. God has given to us areas of judgment also. And to me, God had given the area of the judging of my household, of my children. So now whenever I came, after I walked upstairs, I decided how to punish Becky. I didn't call a psychiatrist or psychologist. Didn't ask him. In fact, if I had, I'd have done just the opposite. But I didn't do that. And when I came out of having punished Becky, I didn't ask anybody if they thought it had been right. In other words, that was my area of responsibility. And I didn't expect Linda to say, Daddy, you shouldn't have done that. I didn't expect Dave or Cindy to say, Dad, I heard her screaming. You were too hard. I didn't expect that. Because that was my area of responsibility. By the way, it's not the welfare's area of responsibility either. It's my area of responsibility. And now God has given in a church. He's given different areas of responsibility. Just like some had hundreds and some had fifties and some had tens, God has given to different people in the church areas of responsibility. Now, I'm going to show you to whom the staff was given. Look, please, again at that passage, would you please? Let the elders that rule well. All right, look at me. Let me explain what the elders meant. When he said the elders, he was talking about Timothy's staff. There are three words in the Bible. Don't leave me now. There are three words in the Bible used for the same office. That's pastor of a church. Pastor, elder, and bishop. But the Bible, in the churches in the Testament days, there were big churches like this. And they had numbers of pastors, these men on the platform. These are pastors. These are my elders, are the elders of this church. When Paul went in the 19th chapter of Acts, I think it was, when Paul went to Ephesus, he called for the elders of the church, and they met together. He wasn't talking about the pastors in the area. He was talking about the pastors in the church, because the church at Ephesus was like First Baptist Church of Hammer. It was a large church. And so when he's talking about the elders here, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was a pastor of the church, telling him how to take care of his staff members. It's exactly what he was doing. Look at it again. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those they who labor in word and doctrine. What Paul is saying is this: let your Bob O'Claire, and let your Ed Lapina, and let your Ray Young, and let your John Colston, and let your Roy Moffat, let those that rule well. I'm going to come back to that word rule in a few minutes, and I'm going to use that in a few minutes. But he said, let them be counted worthy of double honor. Now, Paul was writing to me saying, if Ray Young does a good job, give him double honor. If John Colston does a good job, give him double honor.
If Roman Moffat does a good job, give him double honor. That's written to the pastor. God is saying to the pastor, treat your staff members properly and honor them properly. All right? So the first thing, it was written to Timothy. Second thing, there were many elders. The word elder is the word presbyteros in the Greek, or sometimes presbyteros in the Greek, and it means leaders of the congregation. Now, one man could not lead all this great congregation. So God has raised up some wonderful men to help me in the leading of this congregation. One to lead the choir, and one to lead the bus ministry, and one to lead the bus ministries, and one to lead the young people, and so forth. God has raised up elders to work with me because this church is too big for one pastor or one elder. All right? I said in the first place, it was written to Timothy. I said in the second place, there are many elders or assistant pastors, and he is writing to the pastor saying, this is the way you're supposed to take care of your staff. So he's writing to me saying, this is the way you take care of your staff, and I'm telling you from the Bible what God says I'm supposed to do about taking care of the staff. Number three, all charges were to be directed to Timothy. See what I said? All charges were to be directed to Timothy. Not to your best friend. Not to the deacon board. Not to your neighbor. All charges were to be directed to Timothy. All right? If you think someone should be fired on our staff, you're to come to me. And you say, it won't do any good. It'll do some good. If you saw anything and have another witness with you, as I'll get to after a while, I'll investigate it. But I won't do what you say, necessarily. But you're supposed to call it to my attention. That's God's plan. It is God's plan that if you have a charge to be directed, any of these men up here, or any of the folks that work here for us, if you have a charge to be directed against them, you're not to go yakking it around the church. You're not to pick up a telephone and call. You're not to go out and talk to somebody else on the staff. You're supposed to come to me and tell me what you think ought to be done. That's God's plan. It came to Timothy. All right, number four. Timothy, then, was responsible for the action. Now, look, I'm not trying to get any power. I have no desire for any power. I hate the power that goes with preaching. I hate being a boss. I don't like the boss. I'm teaching you tonight a Bible principle and not trying to defend a position that's mine. It is a Bible principle that Timothy was to take care of any action taken against the elders who worked with him and, in a sense, under him. So the pastor's part, the responsibility of disciplining Jim Jorgensen is mine. Boy, I can't wait till I get a chance to do it. He's the only one. Anyway, the responsibility of disciplining Ed Lapina is mine. The responsibility of disciplining Ray Young is mine. The responsibility of disciplining John Colston is mine. I don't want it. I'm teaching you Bible. Paul wrote Timothy and said, you are responsible for the elders, or, if you please, for the staff. Number five, Timothy was to give those who rule well double honor. Does it ever dawn on you why I brag on these men so much? Ever dawn on you why I mention these, introduce these men on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Ever dawn on you why that I said what I said about Brother Moffat a while ago? Ever dawn on you because I'm giving these men double honor because these men deserve double honor? The reason we baptized 200 people in this baptistry last Sunday largely is because of these men sitting with you on the platform tonight. These men are the men who work with me. And every preacher in history or every leader in history who's ever done anything has had a group of men to work with him. It says, and Saul went forth to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God hath touched. David had his mighty men. Jesus had his apostles. And God, knowing that a church as it grew, as fast as a church should grow, would need many, many other elders or pastors, other than the, what they call someplace, the senior pastor, or so forth. I don't like that title anymore, senior pastor. But God knew that other than the pastor of the church, there needed to be other pastors of the church. And God also said that I, as pastor, and Timothy, as pastor, was supposed to give these men honor who rule well. All right, I said, number one, it was written to Timothy. I said, number two, there are many elders, assistant pastors. I said, number three, all charges were to be brought to Timothy as the pastor. I said, number four, Timothy was then responsible for the action. Number five, Timothy was to give those who rule well double honor. Number six, notice the word rule. Notice that? Look at me. He said, give honor to those who rule well. Rule? Yeah. Well, not as a ruler. Ruler what? A bus ministry. He's supposed to lead. You're supposed to follow. Ray Bordway is a ruler. Ruler of what? Ruler of the choir. Now, he won't get in choir practice tomorrow night and say, you listen to me, I is your ruler. He won't do that. But this choir loves this man. Three of them do. And I said, this choir loves this man. And they want to follow him. He's not a dictator to assume authority. He has been given by God the leadership of the choir of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Now, as the pastor or the overseer of the whole church, then Brother Ray and I meet together once a month, and we discuss the choir. And if he has some change he wants to make, he asks for my advice and my permission and so forth, and we discuss it. But there's no dictatorial kind of a rule here. It is a kind of a rule that when you have somebody that's in charge of something, as one of the elders or pastors, he is supposed to be in charge of his department. That's why we don't have a music committee here, and won't have, to bother Brother Bordway. The music committee is not supposed to rule the music director. The music director is supposed to rule the choir. Brother Young and Brother Moffitt are bus rulers. You say, well, you think they are dictators? I didn't say that. In fact, I said they're not. But when a church is like it ought to be, the people have somebody they love, they want to follow. Listen, these people that work in our BC and D and G bus ministry, they love this guy right here. They want to follow him. These folks that work in our A bus ministry, they love this guy right here. They want to follow him. These folks that sing in the choir, they love this guy. They want to follow him. Those mission men up there, they love this guy here. They want to follow him. But our young people in the church, they love this guy. They want to follow him. I'm saying, God's order is for the people to submit themselves to constitute the authority that God has given, and God gives a church pastors, each pastor, to, as it were, rule in his own little area. His area of responsibility follows him. He leads with care and love, but not, as I said, with a dictatorial rule. Number seven. Now, follow me carefully. Look at verse number 19. Against an elder, now to whom was this written? Tell me. Talk to me. To whom is it written? Timothy. And concerning what group of people in the church? Staff. They're called what? Elders. Fellow pastors, if you please, on the staff. And it says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now look at me. You come to me, and you say to me, Brother Hiles, Brother Lapina did thus and so. I happen to know that all these trips he's taking with these young people, it's because he wants to have fun. Now, none of us thinks that at all. None of us thinks his golf outings are because he likes to play golf. None of us thinks his outings up north to the Upper Peninsula are because he wants to hunt bear or deer. None of us thinks that. None of us. All of us do, but none of us does. But you come to me and say, Brother Hiles, Brother Lapina did something. Now, you better be sure you saw it. See what I said? you better be sure you saw it or I won't listen to you.
Look at it again.
Against an elder receiving an accusation that said, receive it. Didn't say don't believe it, said don't receive it. But before two or three witnesses. And by the way, you better have somebody with you that says they saw it too. Or I won't listen to it. We've had people come in the past, not for these men here, but man used to be a man I think of right now, was once on our staff. One of our deacons. He's not here anymore, because thank God. But if I called his name, you might have an idea who it was. But he decided he was going to dig up some stuff on this staff member. And he came to me and he said, did you know a certain thing has been found in his office? I said, nobody said I have it on good authority. I said, you bring me two people that saw it or shut up. I believe in these men. And I'm dead sure not going to take what one gossip says over these men who've led in this church and helped build this great work here. Not going to do it. And so I am not even going to listen to you unless you told me you saw it. Well, you said, now you're going to have, it didn't happen. I'm going with the Bible. Bible said, Timothy, when one of your pastors, elders, has an accusation against him, don't you even receive it unless there are two or three witnesses. Look, Brother Hiles, I tell you what, I've seen people that saw it, then bring them up. Let me see them. Bring them here. But you shut up. Well, you said, that's why I don't come to you. I know what you'd say. Well, that's what you ought to hear from anybody you'd go to if you're not a witness. And if you have a witness, cut him out. All across this nation, godly men like these men up here are being attacked by people in the pew and bringing all kinds of accusations against them. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart, I am for these men. And I will not even listen to your complaint, or I will not listen to your accusation unless you have two or more people who said they saw it. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, you take it up with God, and it's in the Bible. I'm just telling you what God said. He said receive against an elder, and he's talking to the pastor against the elders of the church, and would you please, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. All right? The word receive there is the word paradekamai. Huh. Are you impressed? Yeah, it's a Greek word. I studied Greek when I was in college for a couple of years. Girl next to me was rather smart. I made good grades. But, yes, I'm just kidding now. That's not true. It was the boy on the other side. But anyway, the word paradekamai in the Greek means to entertain, or it means to admit, like admit one. A ticket says admit one. Don't admit anybody into the door. Or accept. Now, Paul said to Timothy, as pastor, you protect those elders who work with you. And you protect those staff members who work with you. Now, he said, if somebody comes to you and has an accusation against your staff members, he says, don't you receive it. Don't receive it. Don't listen to Mrs. Big Mouth or Mr. Blabbermouth. Don't listen to them. Unless they have two or more witnesses. And you can check that word witnesses. I've checked it in the Greek over and over again. And that word witnesses means somebody who actually saw what they are accusing the person of. Well, I didn't see it, but somebody that did see it, they told me, okay, bring them with you. Bring them with you. Now look at them carefully. That doesn't mean if I have two witnesses against Brother Young, I'm going to believe it. It means I'm going to listen to it. If you two fellows here on the front row come to me and say, I saw Brother Ray Young drink a bottle of beer. Did you see it? Yes. Did you see it? Yes. all right. Now then, if those two men said they saw it, I will listen to them. If they did not say they saw it, I will not listen to them. I will say, you tell me the person that saw it and bring him in here, and I'll listen to him. I'm not supposed to listen to an accusation against my staff people unless you saw it or you bring the people here who did see it, and I will not take it secondhand. It's Bible. All right? Number 8, I'm not to believe it unless there are two witnesses. Now, you say what you want to say. You say, are you saying you've got to see something to believe it? No, sir. I have got to have people, two people or more that said they saw it before I investigated it. But I do not believe it because the witnesses said it. If you came tonight and said to me, I saw Ray Young drink a bottle of beer. And you said to me, I saw Ray Young drink a bottle of beer. I would listen to you if you said you saw it. But I am not going to believe it yet. No, sir. Not going to believe it. The very basis of the American legal system, and the legal system came from the Justinian Code, which came from the Bible, the very basis of the legal system is that anybody is innocent until he has been proved guilty. As I said to you before, If two people come and say, I saw it, that doesn't mean it's true. Because it may be those people didn't see it, but simply said they saw it. I said this to you. Jesus, our only Savior, when he was accused and falsely tried, several witnesses came and said, we saw this man do thus and so. Now, were we supposed to say that Jesus then was a sinner? No, we're not. Because if the witnesses say it, that does not mean it's true. It simply means, now then, I am supposed to investigate it. It does not mean that I appoint a group of men on this platform and we investigate it. It does not mean that I go to the deacon board and we investigate it. It means that I investigate it. Now, I mean the pastor of whatever church it is. God wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, there are some men who work for you who are called elders. Now, he said, you treat those men if they rule well. And by the way, let them have authority. Let Brother Moffitt have authority and operate the bus ministry.
You think he is God?
No, don't think so. Somebody came to me not long ago where I was preaching, and they said, I meant to say something about follow your pastor. Do what he says. Follow his leadership. Quit bucking against him. And one of these old longhorn deacons came up and said, who do you think he is, God? I said, no, I don't. I don't think your doctor's God, but knows more about medicine than you do. I don't think your lawyer's God, but knows more about law than you do. And I don't think your preacher's God, but knows more about church building than you do. And this man here knows more about buses than you do. And so does this man. And this man knows more about the youth ministry than you do. And this man knows more about the theater ministry than you do. And this man knows more about the public school Bible club ministry than you do. And so let these men have some liberty to operate their program. And you do it. You do it. You say, why are you hollering like this then? I want to keep you doing it. And I want you, this church is built on Bible principle. And so that means I don't believe it. All right, number 9. I said number 1. It's written to Timothy. I said, number 2, there are many elders or staff members in his church. I said, number 3, all charges are to be directed to Timothy, the pastor. I said, number 4, Timothy was then responsible for the action. I said, number 5, Timothy was to give those who rule well double honor. I said, number 6, notice the word rule. It means that these men were to be in charge of their various departments. I said, number 7, I'm not to receive an accusation without 2 or 3 witnesses. I said, number 8, I'm not to believe it. Number 9, I am to investigate it. If you think somebody on the staff here, college, other schools, is not doing right, not your job to call some preacher in another state and get his advice. It's your job to come and tell me. And it's my job to investigate. That's what I'm supposed to do. You say, you want that? I don't like that. No, I don't want it. I hate it. But it's Bible. All right? Number 10, the pastor is to judge. The pastor is the judge. Timothy, said Paul, you have men who work with you, other elders. Now he said, if they do a good job, you give them double honor. He said, if anybody comes to you to accuse one of those elders or one of your staff members, he said, unless they have two witnesses, don't you even listen to it. If they have two witnesses, don't believe he's guilty, but investigate. And then, Timothy, it's your job to make the decision concerning the staff. Now, I wouldn't pastor a church without any other arrangement. No way. No way I'd pastor a church if these men work for me. We're all one unit, and they work with me. I don't mean for me, they work with me. And we're a team, and I believe in these men. And I'll go under for any one of them. I got some stories I wish I could tell you. I cannot. I've got one story I'd just love to tell you, and that about a man who used to work for me. I cannot do it. But I want to tell you just this one. Since he's in heaven, I had a man came to me and he said, Brother Sully's got some dirty literature over here in the rescue mission. Brother Sully's a one-armed man that used to be the director of the rescue mission. I said, did you see it? He said, no. I said, I don't believe it. I won't accept it. I won't talk to you about it. You bring to me the man that saw it, and I'll listen to it. If he brings it. By the way, I won't listen to one alone who saw it. Two people have got to come together who saw it. Before I'll listen. All right? Somebody else came to me after deaconing one night and said, I understand that Brother Sully's got some stuff over there, some bad literature in the rescue mission. Now listen carefully to me. So does this man, Jim Jorgensen. He's probably got bad literature in his office right now. Why? Because he is in charge of discipline at our college. He has to decide if literature is bad or not. That guy reads more dirty stuff than anybody in this world. He's an avid listener to rock music. Now, somebody has got to decide whether the picture is vulgar or not. I called Brother Sully in, and I said, Sully, you got any bad literature in your office? He said, sure I do. Sure. Each department in our city owns the projects. Trying to clean up some things in our town. I said, that's good enough for me. Now, wait a minute. Somebody came to me and vigorously said to me, you're covering up with a Sully. I said, I'm not covering up. If you haven't seen it, shut up! Now, if you see it, bring somebody else that's seen it. I'll live with the Bible, and I'll investigate it. That was on Saturday night, Monday afternoon. Mrs. Sullivan found Brother Sully dead. In his bed. On holiday. Hey, it was Labor Day, wasn't it? Memorial Day, Labor Day. Memorial Day. Brother, when I heard that, I couldn't help but thank God that 48 hours before, I stood up for Brother Sully. When I walked up here and stood behind this pulpit and preached his funeral and looked at his face, I could say, Brother Sully, I live for this book entreating you. And to this day, I don't think he was guilty.
Yeah, I think he was.
Well, then why don't you trot your witnesses out? You see? So, now, this deacon that night said to me, he's not here anymore. He said to me, if he stays, I go. Oh, boy, what a deal. Man, I'm not very smart, but I know a good deal when I see one. Oh, my soul. So I'm the judge. All right? Now, it's right here. It's all in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. It's all right here.
I just don't see it that way.
Why don't you operate the place that God's given you responsibility for? And by the way, most of these guys that want to run this, they can't run their own lives. And in many cases, it's the wife that told them to trot up here. We're having fun now, aren't we? Now, I'm simply saying, each of us has our area where we're supposed to judge. I'm not supposed to judge, Brother Tim, your family. God has given you. I may advise you, but that you may ask me, but I won't advise you if you don't ask me. But your family is your little area of responsibility. And you run a business, the drywall business. And that drywall business is your responsibility. God has given you that. In Ephesians chapters 5 and 6, it talks about masters and servants, obey your masters. Employees, obey your employers. That's what it's talking about. And that's your area of responsibility. And unless you ask me for advice, I'm not supposed to interfere. Now, I, the pastor of this church, has an area of responsibility to judge, just like you do. And one of the areas of responsibility he has is the church staff. So, it was written to Timothy as the pastor. There are many elders or staff members who work for him. All charges were to be directed to Timothy and not on the telephone circuit. Timothy was responsible for the action. Timothy was to give those who rule well double honor. Those who were on the staff were to have some area of ruling, because he says rule well. Rule is the word. That's the Holy Spirit put that there, not me. I am to receive an accusation against them or not to receive it without two or three witnesses telling me. I am not to believe it even if two or three witnesses tell me. But I am to investigate it when two or three witnesses tell me. And then I am to judge. Now then, one last thing. I am to rebuke the false accusers. Look, if you would, please, at that verse number 19 again. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Now, there's only one sin mentioned here, and that's false accusation. God is not saying to Paul, and I've said this before, but it's so dumb. He's not saying every time anybody in the church ever sins, you're supposed to rebuke before them all. Brother Colson, has Elaine sinned lately? Can you give me one thing she's done? What? That's exactly the kind of mealy mouth I was talking about a while ago. Elaine, have you sinned lately? What'd you do? Overslept. That's what you're going to think of. That. When you finally did wake up, did you tiptoe so you wouldn't wake him up? Folks, I'd like to make an announcement tonight. Elaine Colston has sinned. She's overslept. And I am rebuking you to your face. Do you know who gets mixed up on stuff like this? Young fellas. When I was in college, we had a group of preacher boys who were going to be the next Billy Sundays and the next Elijahs. And they found this. And they'd go out and preach a revival. And they'd investigate and see what everybody had done wrong in that church. And they'd stand up and name it. Do you know that if I rebuked every person in this room tonight for every sin they've committed, do you know that we'd have to have food shipped in here for months to feed us? Why, it'd take weeks to get the base section cared for alone. No. Any idiot, anybody's an idiot who thinks that this thing, that St. Timothy, anybody that sins in the church, rebuke for them all. That's foolish. He's saying if anybody brings an accusation against one of the elders of the church, he's saying, I'm putting a double ring of protection around the elders of the church. And if anybody
presents a false accusation against the elders of the church, Paul is saying to Timothy, then that's the guy that ought to have the public rebuke. I haven't got time to go back to Deuteronomy 19 because time is gone. But in the Old Testament, if a person brought an accusation against somebody, and that accusation were not true, then that person was punished with the same punishment that the other person would have had it been true. That's the Old Testament. So what God, and that's why this is, I know this, what this means, because the great punishment in the Bible is the false accusers. And if somebody accused someone of doing something that was a death sentence, then the person that accused them falsely of it, if they were found false accusers, they had their life taken. And capital punishment in the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, and the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Capital punishment, the Old Testament, false accusation was, if somebody falsely accused someone of something that would have caused them to have a death sentence, it was capital punishment penalty for false accusers. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that you will say sometime, and so will other folks, I just don't agree with the decision the pastor made about one of the staff members. Now, Tim, if I knew every decision you made in your house, I wouldn't agree with those decisions. Now, follow me carefully. Here's a couple. It's on vacation. Now, I believe you ought to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Vacation, no vacation. But here, Brother Bordway is taking a stand on a vacation. And he decides on a Sunday night that they can't find decent enough church to go to. Now, they should have checked with the office and found one, but they didn't. And he decides. Now, I don't think he did right. But it's not my business. Tell him he didn't, because that's his area of responsibility. And he's going to have to answer to God for the way he led in his area of leadership. I don't think that folks ought to travel during a Sunday service. I think you ought to plan your airline travel so you can get where you're going, leave after a service and get there before a service, or wait till tomorrow to go. But everybody, this church doesn't do that. Now, in your family, it is your job. You mean it is your decisions. It is not mine. It's my job to preach what the Bible says, but it's your job to make those decisions. And it's not my job to slap your hand or slap your wrist because you do what I don't think you ought to do. Nor is it your job in my area of responsibility to slap my wrist when you don't agree with the decision that I make. God has given each of us specific areas of responsibility. Now, this is dumb to teach this tonight. Any church in the world doesn't need it. It's this one. I may have stirred up more trouble tonight than I've had if I'd kept my mouth shut. We have no problems here that way. But you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked if you knew the churches in America where the people try to run the staff. She ought to be fired. Now, maybe she ought to be fired, but it's not your decision to decide whether she's fired or not. It's the decision of the person to whom God has given that responsibility. Now, listen again. Here's a judge. That judge is in charge of a courtroom. It is his responsibility to make the decisions in that courtroom. I may not always agree with the decisions he makes, but it's not my job to run that courtroom. I went down, we had this building that the Colston tore down across the alley here. The trial was in Kentland. And with the Colston who did the thing, he didn't have to go. I had to go down there and testify at that trial. And the judge and I was on the stand testifying, and I said, Your Honor, could I get this over in a hurry? I've got to preach in Dallas, Texas tonight. It's Monday. I've got to preach there. If you let me leave here as soon as I finish testifying. And the judge said to me these words. He said, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, He said, "Are you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, a Dallas Cowboy fan, he's going to get out of here whenever he wants to get out of here. He's a Dallas Cowboy fan." And I thought, good enough, we got this case won. I charmed this fella. We had to pay $60,000 to stupid Dillon over here because that judge made that dumb decision. You know what I did? And I said, "I'm not going to come back here anymore. I'm moving my judgment ship." I'll find you another judge. Now, your life will be a lot simpler when you leave responsibility in the hands of people to whom God has duly constituted and given that responsibility. I'm saying grace over with my area of responsibility. For me to get, for example, I haven't got time to get in some other pastor. The pastor of the Dyer Baptist Church, none of his business what decisions I make, none of mine what he makes. I've got time to figure out what he's supposed to do. It's my job to figure out what I'm supposed to do in my area of responsibility. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says, and by the way, I'll close with this. You don't realize what we have on this platform and the men that work here. You don't realize what we have here. I mean, you don't understand. You give these men all the honor you can. You're looking at a man who's not the least bit jealous. You know what happened the other day? Some guy called Brother Dr. Evans. And he said to Dr. Evans, "I'd like to buy you a new car." And Doc said, "How about this guy?" He said, "That's not big enough. I want you to buy you." I guess he had seen that little motorcycle Dr. Evans been riding around here and called a red car. But he bought Dr. Evans a car. You think I was jealous? You better know I was. That doesn't bother me a lick. Not one lick. You honor these men. You be good to these men. And you be loyal to these men. God has given you in this church. You saw it when I was sick with pneumonia last year. You saw that parade of great preachers that crossed this platform and preached behind this pulpit while I had pneumonia. You won't find a better group of men. And let's honor them. And then let's use God's plan of leadership and discipline. Shall we stand, please?